Then, how is everybody?
Were you guys trying long to get a hold of us?
No,
Okay,
just a
good.
few minutes, so.
Perfect.
Anyway, okay. So where do we want to start?
I know, I know Deb had a very exciting experience. I don't know if you want to share that with us.
Oh, you want me to share it?
That would be awesome.
Mike's sitting there, what?
Well, what it was, I was soaking with my son the other day, and I was making him up what happened. But what happened was I ended up not even kind of I don't know, it was a place. It was a place. Jesus was holding my hand, took me, and all of a sudden, I saw my mom and dad, and I saw my husband, Wayne. Like, we were really happy and excited to see each other. It was great. So, then I came down, and I was excited. Now, the thing that, it was great, but what got me was, my cousin Wayne committed suicide. And you know, of course, it's always said that if you commit suicide, he was there. So that was the experience I had. Oh yeah, we were just—we didn't say anything, but we were just so happy to see each other. So and then suddenly was there to bring back down. But do you have anything to say about that?
That's interesting. I mean, in terms of, you know, if people are part of the cloud of witnesses, then you can engage with them. You know, I've engaged with a number of people that I know. In terms of whether someone's there or not there is dependent on God's heart and their relationship with Him, you know, regardless of how they died. You know, if they were born again and they had a relationship with God, then they have access into that realm. I know the sort of tradition thing about, well, yeah, if someone commits suicide, then they can't be in heaven. I think that's more of a traditional thing. I don't see where that is biblically. I guess it's an assumption that how could they? But many people are not in their right mind when they do that. You know, and they that doesn't mean that they didn't love God. It just means they didn't love their own life. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see an issue. If you engage with them, then they're there. And then we just have to take it as that. There's a whole load of things that we don't fully understand, and God does, you know. So that's... we just have to accept some of those things. You know, a number of people are having encounters with things that I'm thinking, ooh, I've no idea what that means or what that is, but at the end of the day, you know, God is God, and God can do whatever He wants when it comes to our encounters with Him and everything like that. So, yeah, sounds like it was an interesting encounter, and I wouldn't doubt, you know, what you've seen and what you experienced. You know, because it didn't create fear or anything like that. So it was a sense of happiness and joy, which is a good indicator that it was, you know, coming from the right place, basically. So, yeah.
And also, it's not like I was thinking about it or anything, because I was thinking about my son. I was taking him up, and all of a sudden, boom, they're there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean... You know, why God does things at certain times involuntarily, I don't know. You know, don't really understand some of the reasons behind things, but then we're not God, and we don't need to figure it out. We just need to embrace it, and if we need to know something subsequent to an experience, then we ask God to show us. You know, why did I have that experience? What was that about? Then we can go back to God and seek for the revelation about an encounter, so that encounter can become something which leads us into something, You know, I mean, God is obviously showing you that for a reason. You know, the reason may be very personal to you, and I think if you seek God for that reason, he'll show you. You know, and it may be that you'll come across someone else who's in that situation, who has lost hope for their loved ones, and you may have a testimony now that you can engage them with. You know, who knows what God will do as a result of that testimony which you now have. I'm sure he'll use it in some way to bless others and, you know, for bring glory to him in some way or other. So, yeah. Okay.
You guys have any bird questions? Yeah, we usually have a little plan before we come on. So, go right ahead.
I know Bill had a question. Go ahead, Bill.
Bill, did you hear? You still muted.
Go ahead, guys. Go ahead, Norma.
No, I was just saying, I know Bill had a question. So, go ahead with your question, Bill.
Everyone's passing the buck to each other.
I talked to Bill, and I know he has that question.
Okay, go for it.
You don't want to mock. It was like when you were here, Mike, and you never had a break. Mike, with the seven spirits, and, you know, the primary colors, and they're actually with, I guess, it's through the heavenly rites in them, became white light, if I understand it correctly. And I guess the question is, they're so important in the kingdom. I'm sorry about the echo. I understand, I've heard, while I go and read them every day, I understand that you can actually sign up, I've been told, and be taught by them. Almost like in a classroom, I'm not certain how it goes. Could you explain that? And how do I go, if that's so, how do I do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the seven spirits are, to bring us to maturity. So I think they're involved with our lives an awful lot more than we are aware necessarily. Yeah, they want to bring us into that position of maturity and help us to come into that governmental position that is our sonship. But, you know, the picture I know in Galatians 4 about tutors and governors and the fact that an heir is an heir, but the heir may not be mature. So we are an heir and we have an inheritance, but we may not be mature enough to fully function in that inheritance, and that's really where the seven spirits come in, and they help us understand our identity in relationship to who God is and God's plan and purpose, and so they represent the fullness of God, and we can engage with them to have revelation of who God is and therefore who we are as sons of God. They're not there. I think sometimes it can be presented in such a way that they are all about themselves. They really aren't. They are the lamps of God, the light of God. So they are not about themselves. They're about reflecting God's glory and the revelation of God in terms of knowledge and wisdom and various aspects of God. Now, we are engaging a lot with the seven spirits in our meetings and our gatherings, and we have flags with different colors that represent them, and people can engage in them. In fact, I'm going to share, I think, on Sunday about the seven spirits, because, you know, I've been sharing about the angels and the four faces of God this week, and I want to sort of complete that really by helping people to understand, well, what do you do when you engage them? And, you know, you can engage them, in a sense, in your own heart. You know, I see it as engaging them at the table. that is prepared and set before me in the presence of my enemies, because they can and help me in my own heart to engage. You can engage them in the realms of heaven. If you want to engage one, you know, by faith, you just invite them to come. You know, if you want to sit down in your own garden, and you know, if you have that table, for me it's a big tablecloth set out in the green pasture, and sometimes I just go and feast there, and I can invite one or more to come and be part of that. If there's an aspect of things that I don't fully understand, then again I can invite one of the seven spirits to help me with that. If I'm struggling perhaps with understanding how to function in my sonship, how to function in government, or you know, how to operate in those things, then you know, that we have a list obviously with all the different attributes and the things that they teach us. And I think that's a basic list. I mean, my personal experience with them is somewhat different to that, in that I met them before I ever knew that they existed. So it wasn't as if I had teaching about it. You know, the Holy Spirit, I think, and Jesus at one time just took me and showed me these creatures, and then I engaged with them. And it wasn't really until they started talking to me did I understand, you know, who they are and who they were. And they weren't all in one go, they were one at a time. So except for wisdom and knowledge, who came together and they engaged me together. So, you know, they gave me specific things for my own life which aren't related necessarily to the usual things about government position and mandates and authorization. They just showed me some things, you know, and you know, I'm sort of looking at some of those things that they showed me now, in looking to prepare for sharing some of these things. Now, there is a training hall which you can access from Wisdom's Heights within the Mountain of God in Zion, where they are like classrooms that you can go and you can sign up. It's like the way I've seen it anyway, is like a big hall, and there are sort of sign-up tables that you can register for going into basically a class. And, you know, so that you can engage with them. That will be very much about, you know, your position and mandate for government for each of the situations there. So, to be honest, it's like, I think sometimes when I'm on my mat and on my throne, I'm aware of a color or of a hue that I think that, you know, one of the seven spirits is there. And they may be part of enduing me with spiritual revelation that is not just cognitive, so that my spirit receives revelation as light or frequency or color, or whichever you want to put it, so that it equips me in the role of government. Now, my personal view is that the seven spirits of God are different from, for instance, wisdom. I know that there is the spirit of wisdom, but I have not encountered the spirit of wisdom in the same way that I've encountered wisdom herself. They appear very different for me. And I think the seven spirits are, you know, and the spirit of wisdom is different from wisdom that you can engage on Wisdom's Heights, the wisdom of Proverbs 8. The colors that seem to be associated with them, you know, it's maybe a point of engagement. We use the colored flags that we have to help people engage as a way of just to see something and to, by faith, engage with that flag as a representation of one of the seven spirits. I don't think the colors are particularly important in themselves. I think it's the function of who they are which is important. And, you know, when I saw them, they weren't like, you know, the spirit of wisdom wasn't orange with orange skin, but they did have like an orange belt, sash around the robe and a sash. So there was a sort of representation of orange. That's how they appear to me. But they can appear to people differently how they want to, effectively. You know. you know, it's not a one thing fits all, because they're able to engage us in ways that we can understand. You know, for me, they gave me visions of things and showed me things which are very symbolic of things that I needed to understand. They didn't just give me information. You know, and I found that, you know, my spirit is drawing from that source because I want to be a son. I want to be manifested in the fullness of sonship. It is the desire of my heart to be a son, fully functioning in all that I'm called to do. Therefore, I have a desire within my heart that the seven spirits of God will engage with, because they see. You know, it talks about them going to and fro around the earth. Well, they're looking for people. They're calling for people who have a desire to be sons. You know, that's really why they were engaged with some people, and some people have no idea that they even exist, because they're looking for the desire for sonship, for us to be who we are, and for flowing out of our identity and our destiny. And so that's really why a lot of people, most people probably, have no understanding or connection with them, because they have not got that desire. But those who do, I think it will draw them to us, and then they will impart to us, even if we're not necessarily face-to-face with them or talking to them. But if we want to have a specific engagement, then, you know, I would, by faith, go and engage. You know, go to that training hall. And you think, well, where is it? Well, it's in Mount Zion. So you can go through Wisdom's Gate. So you can just basically step in there. If you've been before, then you can use that as the pathway to re-engage into there and ask Wisdom to show you where it is. You know, if you need someone to guide you, or ask Jesus when you step in through the door to take you there. You know, these are some of the things we can do once we begin to engage, once we begin to understand that the desires of our heart leads us to those things, and if we, by faith, engage it, then we can experience it. It may be different for you than it was for me and for others, but that doesn't matter. It will be what you need at any particular time. So, yeah.
That might fulfill our mandate. It would seem to me that it'd be probably really at some point essential to engage the seven spirits in the training hall, to really, without which we probably really won't really have a real in-depth understanding of our mandate. Would that be correct? Like, so it's a necessary place to really end up at some point.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, it's obviously a place that's designed for us to go specifically to engage. I think we just need to be sensitive, to be aware and open for any point where we need that insight, knowledge, understanding, might to call, you know, to call on them to help. You know, it's not. Yes, we can go and engage them, but we can call for them to come and engage with us where we are in any particular situation. And I think when you go to the throne of grace and you look for help or mercy at time of need, then, you know, I think the seven spirits there can be engaged with that when we begin to call for help and engage the Father, because the Father will then direct us to where the help will come from. And sometimes just being there, things happen just when we are there, without seemingly having done anything. But we've come and we've embraced God, and God is in our showing our dependence on Him, releases grace and favor and blessing to align things and to change things in our lives. So, yeah, I would say, it, without a doubt, engagement with the seven spirits is vital if we're going to come into the fullness of sonship. Where we engage them, probably not so much of the issue, but actually the fact that we do and we need that engagement is the fact. And I think if your spirit is drawing you to engage them in a classroom and to be taught by them, then that's where to go. You know, I think let your spirit dictate and determine, not your soul. Sometimes my soul will want me to do something because it wants cognitive information, because it doesn't want to be in the dark. And sometimes that's not always what my spirit wants. And so sometimes I don't respond to that. I allow my spirit to dictate and determine where and what I need to do in the realms of heaven. And you know, that's been, you know, a process of my soul surrendering to my spirit so that together they can function in unity.
Got a follow-up question to that, Mike. Yeah. Once you've gone and signed up, because I've signed up a few times, do you just keep going back, or do they honor that by trying to engage you, or how does that look after you've signed it up, if you haven't had an experience there at the time?
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I think personally, I think if you've signed up and your desire is for that, then they will engage you. You know, and you will find that in the different things that you do, then your spirit will receive revelation to enable you to become more in that governmental sphere of understanding your sphere of government and how you govern. I think I have spoken to people who have been in a classroom and they've almost like been sat and have been shown things and had revelation of things. Some of them almost visionary revelations and some of them more auditory in terms of information that's been given. I think if you've signed up and you've not had I'm in a classroom experience, then you just have to assume that either that will come or then that's not the way they want to engage with you right now. I mean, I think, I can't give you a definitive answer for why, you know, things don't work the same way for everybody. They just seem to be how it's designed for us. But I'm sure, you know, the desire that you have will be fulfilled because I know it gives us the desires of our hearts, particularly when they're in alignment with his. So, you know, if you want to pursue it and push through that, you know, maybe again you just need to ask Jesus to take you to the classroom, or the wisdom to take you to the classroom so that you can receive whatever you need to receive. But then someone says that life is the greatest classroom, and maybe in the other experiences that you're having, that is the classroom. And so look at the circumstances and the different things that are going on and see what those things are opening up for you. Because that may be, you know, how we see a lot of things happening. You know, God uses the different circumstances of our life to teach us and train us and equip us. And I'm sure the seven spirits will be involved very much in those things. It's just almost like when we're having a life situation that we need to make decisions, then we involve them in the decisions. You know, ask, I need knowledge or understanding or counsel for this decision. So I'm going to engage the seven spirits for that specifically, you know, and just be open for your spirit then to come into a place of peace that you know that the decision you're going to make is right. You know, sometimes I make totally illogical decisions based on peace in my spirit because I know my spirit is telling me to do this when everything about logic tells me not to do that. But I've learned to trust my spirit, and I think my spirit has been trained through these processes to be looking for God's solution and be looking for the wisdom and insight and knowledge and understanding that comes from that source to be the thing that directs me. And that is not always very helpful to people who want you to make logical decisions and choices, because they say, well, why aren't you doing this? Well, I can't do that because that my spirit is saying no, you know. And I can't give them a logical answer for why my spirit's saying no. It's just saying no because I have no peace to do that, but I have peace to do something else. And so that peace often comes when we have our spirit has revelation. And I think the seven spirits of God provide some of that revelation, without a doubt. You know, it just may not come in the way we seem to want it always. But I personally have been in one classroom, but you know, that's not been how the seven spirits generally have engaged with me. It's more in my functioning and my seeking for wisdom and insight and all those things to be able to rule, you know. So because I'm ruling in a lot of things, so maybe when people are preparing to rule and they've not got so many things on their plate to administer, maybe that's where the classrooms come in, because they've got more time to engage in a classroom. Most of my stuff is on the job training, really. I'm doing an awful lot of stuff that I need wisdom and insight all the time for. So I'm seeking that, I'm reaching out. For those who maybe are not doing so much of that on their mountains, or are not engaging, you know, all the different mountains and roles that they have in heaven, maybe that they have time to take those classes and learn before they get to do it. That would be great if they do, you know. But I'm not sure that that's true for a lot of people who are actually already on mountains. We've got a lot of stuff to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, we should continue along that same line with the seven spirits. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, continue along that same line. I have found that it's what you said in mind, that that it's sometimes on the job thing, you don't necessarily see a representation of each of the seven spirits of God, but it's almost been like a download, like an immediate download or an inspirational thought, let me put it like that, where you need understanding or revelation, and you don't consciously say, I need to engage a spirit of understanding or to engage a spirit of revelation right now. But you know, because you suddenly feel special, like an unction, as it were, and you know that there is a download from one of the things to God. So something that you would naturally be able to function in.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that's definitely that's what I would say I experience most of. You know, my spirit receives a download of information, revelation, light, frequency, encoding, all sorts of different words for it. That my cognitive senses don't necessarily fully understand. You know, my engagement with the fire stones in the different places, my spirit receives a whole load more. But what it'll do then, my spirit then will begin to direct. And, you know, I've found that after engaging and, you know, engaging wisdom, you know, I embrace wisdom, for instance, it's like my mind does not necessarily understand what I received. You know, sometimes when I, you know, and I think it's the same in these things, our spirit is designed to contain and receive and be a storage place for everything that we are in terms of who we are as in government and everything else. And then that can be released in the decisions I make, the choices I make, because ultimately that revelation that is in my spirit needs to be produced as fruit. And the fruit of the spirit is the character that develops from the choices I make. You know, character is not just instant. Character forms because of constant choices to do the right thing. You know, so constantly choosing to have integrity will form a character of integrity. Constantly choosing to be honest will form a character of honesty. And I think our spirit is what that guides us and directs us to make those choices, which then people see as attributes or fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. You know, when I make decisions aligned with those characteristics, because my Spirit leads, then I begin to develop that as my lifestyle, if you like, who I really am at work, in that people can see it. But people can't see my Spirit and what's within my Spirit. They see what I do to them and how I live. So they see something outworked in the natural realm, which is a result of inside-out direction. So as my Spirit ultimately encompasses my soul and my soul comes into alignment, then that fruit is manifested in what I do, what I say, how I speak, all those different things. But it's received in a spiritual way. You know, the Spirit receives spiritual stuff and then releases that in a way that becomes cognitive or instinctive. Sometimes I make decisions based on instinct because the Spirit is releasing that I make those choices, instinctive choices rather than reasoned choices. But they can be very much directed, like based on intuition. You know, if my intuition gate is flowing and functioning and my Spirit is engaging often my emotions with intuition, feelings, impressions, then I will begin to act on those in what I do on a day-to-day basis, and I'm becoming less cognitive in my decision-making. Because sometimes I just need to do stuff without having to think about it, because I need to respond to a situation that's there, and I may not have time to go and weigh it up for 2 days and come up with a pros and cons list and work out what I should do. So I need to instinctively respond as directed by my Spirit in alignment with my mandate from God. And so everything that is part of my spiritual downloads will be part of my destiny, the scroll, the thoughts of God about me, all those things that when I engage the heart of God, my Spirit receives. Sometimes it's really great that, you know, I go to a place and I get a absolute complete understanding cognitively. I mean, it's great, but that's not my general experience. My general experience is my Spirit receives something that then will release my soul to come into alignment with. And when I surrender and I come into agreement, then that gets produced as fruit. When I resist that, then it doesn't, which is why we have to reduce the resistance in our soul by trusting and building the relationship with God, with our Spirit, so that we can just all function together. Because God's desire is that we'll be whole. So it's different for different situations, really, you know. And sometimes I will get, you know, if I'm having a conversation with God, he's not often cryptic in that conversation. You know, he tells me stuff. But sometimes if he reveals something in a vision or he reveals something in almost a parable, then I have to find out what that means, which means I need to pursue him some more, and I need to engage my Spirit some more to find, well, what did that mean? And sometimes he just wants me to say yes and be obedient and to acknowledge, well, he's the Lord, he's the King, he's my Father, therefore I'm just going to be instinctively obedient to him. Without having to go through all the cognitive process that, you know, I've been through in the past, you know. So it's a relationship. You know, it's not like, it's not just a formula that we can just say, well, I'm going to produce this equation today and it will produce this answer. God is so much bigger than that. And he wants a relationship which we develop various ways. You know, when you've been with someone a long time, in relationship, you often can tell by their body language or the atmosphere they give off what they're thinking and what they're feeling. You know, and God wants us to develop that with him. that we just know. And it's our spirit which will do the have the knowing, if you like. And it's my spirit which is my knower, not my mind. You know, and if I respond more from my knower and less from my sort of reasoned outworking, then I'll find that things will flow quicker. You know, they'll just flow quicker because they'll be more instinctively flowing out of that which is spiritual rather than just natural.
Yeah. I'm really glad you said that, Mike, because I have really found that to be true. Out of our relationship with him, there is this knowing that you, like, for example, if you have to make a decision for something, and you don't necessarily have to go say to the Father, what is your will? You need to know what is your will in this regard. But I found that the more the relationship deepens, it's like if you know, you get to know his emotions, you get to know his heart, you get to know, there's this knowing, like almost what he would say or how he feels about something.
Hmm.
Just for example, someone would say, would you pray about this with your God? And sometimes I will respond and say, well, I don't have to pray about it. I know it sounds it sounds bad if you said you're being arrogant, but I don't feel that way. I just, in that particular thing, I really know my Father's heart. And I would say, well, I know what the response would be or what he would like in this situation. And so I'm really glad you said that, because it's,
And the Father, Son, and Spirit are in us, you know, so we have this intimacy with them. We just have to continue to look to that inside relationship and not just look at the outside circumstances and determine what we do by those circumstances. We need to come from that relationship, you know, and seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness is part of developing that, because it's all about him. It's about his kingdom. It's not about mine. It's about his righteousness. It's not about mine. So it's all about him. And the more I spend time with him, the easier it is to feel that instinctive way of responding. You know, and if our prayer gate is open, you know, I think part of the problem is, you know, we have these 9 spiritual gates, you know, or 8 spiritual gates and the heavenly one, the first love gate. And we have a cognitive expectation of what those things will mean without an experiential engagement with them. So if we think, oh, well, we have a prayer gate open, then it must mean that's where I do my praying. Well, what? That's just a way of, well, we think prayer means, well, I get on my knees, put my hands together, or I ask God for things or whatever. It really just is the relational flow of where everything flows through there. So the desires of my heart engage there, the desires of his heart engage there, and they connect. You know, they connect as a flow of relationship. So that prayer grate really is the flow of my relationship with him. You know, and it isn't about me praying. I don't pray. You know, I don't think I ever pray anymore. I just talk to God. I have a relationship with him. I don't sort of, oh, I have my prayer time, or now I'm going to pray about this. We just have two-way communication, which is open. So that prayer gate really is just a flow of relational connection and intimacy in which I'm open for him to know me, and he's open for me to know him, and therefore to flow out of that connection. And the, you know, the same would be for some of those other gates. You know, it's not to make assumptions that, oh, well, this means that and that means this. You know, worship, the worship gate, is nothing to do with singing songs. It's really to do with an attitude of obedience, acknowledging that God is God, he is the king, he is my Father, and I want to just bow down and acknowledge that, and therefore do everything that he wants and please him and desire his desires, you know, and so all the other things really sort of outwork there, in that if I'm not at a place of worship, then I'm not at a place of rest and a place of peace. So, you know, some of these things is worth revisiting, and for people just not to make an assumption that because they hear a word or see a word that they understand it. Because that those words need outworking in relational engagement. You know, so when I first engaged my gates in that way, I asked Jesus, and we stood in the gate, and I just asked him to show me what it meant. You know, what does this gate mean? How does this function in my spirit? What does it really mean? You know, and he did, you know, and then for me, that's now just me. You know, I don't think of all the gates as separate gates anymore. I just think of it as me flowing in relationship, having surrendered my spirit, soul, body to God, and so that rivers of living water can flow through me, and the life of the spirit can flow through me, and the light of God can engage through me, and the glory can manifest through me. You know, I'm not saying I'm there in the dimension I'd like, but I'm looking to become whole. You know, so it's helpful to think of all these separate parts until all the separate parts all function together in one. Then I don't have to think about the separate parts anymore. It's just who I am. You know, and therefore they all work together. You know, I don't have to think, oh, I'm going to work on my revelation gate now. I need revelation. Therefore, I'm going to engage my imagination and I'm going to see. You know, that's helpful when you're learning to function. But once you function, it's like it just works instinctively. I don't have to think about it anymore. It's almost like now hardwired into me, whereas before I was learning to be programmed to think and function that way. Now it's more, it's just how I am. It's who I am, really. And ultimately that will become more and more like that the more we flow from the inside out and the more we spend time just engaging with God, you know. But it's got to be relational. You know, everything has to be relational, you know. And those relationships are sometimes different. You know, my relationship with Jesus is different from my relationship with the Father and my relationship with the Holy Spirit. My relationship with the Father when he's in his garden is very different from when he's on his throne. You know, there are different ways that I engage with God in depending on different circumstances or perspectives and places in heaven and different functions, but it's still relationship. You know, I have a relationship with God on his throne. It's very much more that I lie on my face and throw my crowns before his feet. When I'm in the garden, it's very much more, hey, I'm just one in this place of wonderful peace. They're just different places, and you know, I've sort of learned, I guess, just to respect and honor who God is and relate to him in those ways. But again, I don't have to think about it anymore. It's just how my spirit engages, you know, and I just know. You know, I know where I'm seated on certain thrones, then I'm there to make legislative decisions. And I do that connected with Jesus, who's you know, on my left side, and I'm joined to him for him to direct those decisions. I'm not independent ever. I don't want to be independent ever. I want always to be continually flowing and connected, being a gateway of heaven on earth and manifesting the kingdom. You know, and I don't always make a good job of it, but my desire is there. You know, and when I mess up, then I know he just forgives me when I go and engage him. I don't run from him or hide in the bushes and cover up. I just own everything because I know he loves me, you know, because I'm in a love relationship. And yes, sometimes he'll discipline me in that love relationship, but he'll never punish me. His discipline is to train and equip me to help me do better the next time. It's never a punishment, and it's never done with guilt or shame or condemnation. It's done out of love. You know, and I know God's discipline is love, therefore I'm willing to embrace it. And if that means going into the fire sometimes, then I'll go into the fire sometimes. You know, I give him my heart every day, and I put my heart on the altar looking for a purification of my heart. You know, but yeah.
Guys, are we going to share our...
I thought you were going to say something, Norma, because we could probably do an activation if you guys provide that. And then my S is very warbled. Oh, man. So warbled. Yeah, because I think it'd be good. Usually when... sorry. I better stop laughing. This is really bad. Yeah, well, I was thinking we should do an activation. Maybe with the seven spirits. More for others also. We just have a short time left. Right?
Sure. I mean, I'm happy to do whatever you want. Obviously, we have got a short time left. But we could, yeah, we can engage with the seven spirits if you want to do that. Okay. Okay, well, let's just close our eyes and... just think of the open heaven we have above us. We can just engage into that open heaven. You just take a step. And we just meet with you, Jesus, in the door of heaven. We just embrace you. We open our spirits and our hearts and the desires of our hearts to you. We just ask you just take us by the hand. And just lead us through the veils within your kingdom. We just ask you to just take us to wisdom's heights. To engage the doorway, the gateway into Zion. We would just step through the door. To the training room and the hall of the seven spirits, as we come to engage with our destiny, with our scroll, we would just come with our scroll to engage that which our spirit would draw us towards. With the spirit of the Lord, or the spirit of wisdom, or understanding, or counsel, or might, or knowledge, or the fear of the Lord. We would just begin to engage where our spirit would lead us to bring the fullness of our alignment with our mandates and our scroll, with our destiny and who we are as sons of God, and the outworking of our sonship in regard to creation and answering its groan. We thank you that all of creation is in the Father's hands. We just choose to engage right now with one of the seven spirits. As we would step into the classroom, the training center, as we would be equipped for our positions of kingdom, government, and authority as sons of God. Spirits would just begin to absorb the frequency, the revelation, the light from one of the seven spirits that would equip us, mandate us, authorize us, teach us to come into maturity. Understand the ways of the kingdom, to understand the protocols of government. To see our position as sons within the government of God and the dominion as gateways of heaven to bring that dominion to the earth. Call and our destiny to be manifested as sons. To answer the groan of creation. So we would just feel that the responsibility that is ours, assigned to us and mandated to us. We just prepare our hearts just to carry with us within our spirit also that which we've received, the revelation, insight, wisdom, knowledge, counsel, understanding that we've received. So we just prepare just to step back into this realm to be a gateway of all that we've received as sons, to bring that manifestation of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Your last time with you before 2014?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah. Okay.